Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a joy and a privilege to worship with you today. We will continue our series on Motivate, 8 secrets of impacting the lives of our children, loved ones, disciples for lasting change. Quick review. M stands for modeling. O, open communication. T, time. I, intimacy. V, vision. A, affirmation. Today, we will focus on the letter T. It stands for training and teaching. But today, I want us to understand the principle of training. Let me ask you a question. Who is responsible for training? And secondly, what is training? What's the difference between training and teaching? For many of us, training is the responsibility of the government, of the school. For some of us, it's the church. The one responsible for training is none other than parents. We are responsible. Let's look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." What is the principle of training? Proper intentional training results in transformation. The word "train up a child" comes from a very interesting word, hana. It means to dedicate, to set apart. But this word, train, also means creating an appetite. It is directing the heart of the child towards something. It is a word used to describe midwives. After delivering the baby, the midwife will use their finger by dipping it in the syrup of the date and then to rub it in the palate of a baby. So the baby will begin to have a desire to start sucking. It is also used to describe how they train wild horse. A horse is useless until the wheel is subjugated. So the word train has the idea of breaking the will of the horse, but not the spirit. I find it very appropriate because the reality is not only children, even adults, we all struggle with self-will. We would rather do things our way rather than God's way. So the foundation of training is to guide the will of a child. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. It has something to do with having the right desire, the right direction, but it has to do with the will. So that when the child is grown up, the Bible said, he will not depart from it. The idea of where he should go is for you to be observant. Find out what is the direction of your children's life, where is he headed for, what are his strengths, what are his weaknesses, and then you train it so that he will be set in the right direction. Now, what are the objectives of training? For one, it can be secular, man-centered. You train your children to become successful in finance, to be successful in their work, to be successful in skills. Nothing wrong, but that's not good enough. What is biblical training? Biblical training has to do with character. It has to do with purpose. You want your children to grow up into Christ's likeness. You want your children to learn to obey the Lord. Because the root problem of humanity is really self-will. So training begins with obedience. You want them not only to obey externally, but to delight in their heart to obey. So how do you do that? May I suggest you start as early as possible. And that is why the Bible tells us, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read that together. Children, notice children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Here is the command. Children, obey. Notice, in the Lord. It is to remind all of us, obedience is eventually anchored in the Lord. What is another idea of the word obey? Look at verse 2. Honor your father and your mother. The word honor has the idea of respect, has the idea of taking care of them. Why? Because obedience and respect and honoring, they are related. You may obey grudgingly, but not honoring your parents because the heart is not right. True obedience involves not just external behavior. It has to do with your heart, with your attitude. Honoring. Notice, it gives you the why of obedience. Look at verse 2. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well and that you may live long on the earth. Who does not want blessing? And that's what training is all about. You train your children, obey. Why? Because there is blessing. Why do I obey the Lord? Why do I obey my parents? Because there is a promise. God wants to deal with the heart of obedience. Obedience is not delayed obedience. Many of us have not been taught. We think, I'll obey someday, I'll obey later on. That is the mindset. Delayed obedience is not obedience. When we were teaching our children, we made sure they understand obedience must not be delayed. So how do we teach this to our children so that as they grow older, they will embrace the importance of obedience? What's the guideline when they are younger? The guideline is this. You got to focus on obedience and respect. So we taught them three important commands. No, wait, obey. Obey means what? Now. It does not mean later. It means obey now. Not two times, not three times, one time. I've seen many parents mess up in this area. They give a command, take a shower. And the child will look and keep on playing. Then they raise their voice, higher pitch, take a shower. The child look at the parents and doesn't move. And then the parents or the mother or the father finally gets angry. And that's the time the child will go take a shower. By doing that, we are really teaching them, when I give the first command, you don't have to follow. When I give the second command, you don't need to follow until I get angry. You see, sometimes we are not consistent. That's why the Bible tells us, you have to focus on teaching them what it means to obey. The one command obedience principle is very simple. You give the command once. You don't keep repeating. Because if you keep repeating, you are telling them, you don't have to obey. If you allow them to keep whining, you are basically training them. If you keep whining, you may get what you want. If you give in because they whine, you are teaching them it's okay to whine. Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, he who withholds his rod hates his son. But he who loves him, notice, disciplines him diligently. Today, the topic of spanking is very controversial. But can I share with you, biblically, God gave us principles of how to train our children. Our family, we use spanking. Spanking is not to destroy them. It is not to cause harm. It is for discipline. We never spank out of anger. You don't do that. You don't shout. You don't threat. I don't say, if you don't obey, I'm going to spank you. That's wrong approach. You come up with a clear rules and say, if you don't obey, daddy will spank you. And the day you find out they don't obey, you don't keep threatening. You bring them to a place. You don't spank immediately. You explain why you're spanking. And when you spank them, let me repeat, it should never be in anger. It should never be in public. It should be consistent. Why? The objective of spanking is to connect disobedience with spanking. you want them to learn, if I don't obey, I'll get spanked. I remember a time when we were visiting the United States, and my kids were, we were all sitting in one row, and they were beginning to act, not in a proper way. They were playing with papers, and I told them, obey. They looked at me, and they didn't listen to me. They kept throwing the papers back and forth. At the end of the service, I brought them to our hotel room, and I lined them up, and I said, you know what you guys just did a while ago? You were not obeying me. Therefore, I have to spank you. I lined them up, and I did spank them. Once each. It was painful. Next Sunday, we were in another church, and they were again acting funny. But this time, I looked at them, and I said, obey. Guess what happened? They all obeyed. Why? They learned. That's the purpose of discipline, to teach them one command obedience, where you don't have to negotiate, you don't have to keep repeating. You see, discipline is only effective as you apply all the 8 principles that you are going to be learning. Discipline without relationship will lead to rebellion. I tell my wife, when we discipline our children, we don't neglect the other principles of modeling, relationship, open communication. Why? Because discipline without relationships will lead to rebellion, and love without discipline will lead to disrespect. So you always have to balance discipline, relationship, love. And here is the secret. If they know you love them, love plus consistent discipline over time will lead to Christ-likeness. It will lead to godly character. When you discipline your children, you want to impact the heart. So as they grow older, you always want to make sure you're able to connect with the heart of your children. And that's why you need to adjust your style. For example, when they become 7 to 12, you want to increase responsible behavior based on internalizing values. So when I say adjust your style, when they're still younger, you can be strict. But as they grow older, you want them to learn internalized values. So you want to focus on self-control. Can I tell you something? Obedience will surely involve self-control. For example, when I tell them obey, wait, they need to practice self-control. Self-control is something that many parents don't realize. It goes with obedience. Obedience will tell your children and teach them the importance of self-control. Like eating, how do they eat? Teaching them also how to exercise, getting up early in the morning. As they grow older, you adjust your style, but the whole emphasis is teaching them, assuming more responsibility and more self-control. Teach them to be responsible in making decisions, because you will allow consequences. And you want them to be responsible when they internalize values. I'm going to ask my son, Paul and Jenny, to share with all of us how he applied this with his kids.
When I was playing sports, my coach always told me, perfect practice makes perfect. It's not just practice makes perfect. And that's the whole concept of training. How you repetitively teach somebody how to learn a certain skill. As little children, we were trained to be obedient and to be respectful. When we weren't obedient, my parents would consistently discipline us, always in love. Just as the Bible says, God disciplines those whom He loves. My parents would discipline me and my other siblings because they loved me. And what they did also for us was they would pray for us and they would connect us to Christ. And the Bible tells us that when you obey, there's blessing. And that's something that we embrace as children. Now that we're parents, it's a lot harder to actually train. And Jenny's going to share a little bit about that.
Training has actually been very challenging for me. Being consistent not getting irritated. Mm. I found that, you know, when I don't train, when I don't discipline immediately, I get irritated. Mm. I get impatient. I get frustrated with my kids. I get angry. And that just creates a rebellion in them, and even an anger and a disrespect towards me. So I realized Paul and I really had to go back, and we really had to pray and say, okay, God, help us with this. Because we started realizing, yeah, we have a lot of shortcomings mm-hmm. when it came to training and disciplining. And so one of the things that I've really tried to do when I would spank was really tell the kids, you know, why I'm spanking you. Mm-hmm. I would let them know, you know, mommy loves you. And I would actually sometimes break down in tears mm-hmm. because I never wanted to spank them. But I would remind them that I love them and I want them to learn to obey. And ultimately, I want them to learn to obey Jesus. I think when we did it consistently, mm-hmm. when we did it not out of anger but out of love, I really saw the results. Yes. And I actually would have a little tail that would run around with me all day, because I think the kids know and they need those kinds of boundaries and they need that kind of training. And so another thing that has actually really helped us too is asking people around us, asking our parents, you know, how do you feel we're doing in the area of training our kids? Are there things that we're being inconsistent with? Mm-hmm. And really listening to the words of wisdom of those around us. And of course, going back to the Lord and asking the Lord, how am I doing in this area? And checking our hearts. Like for me, I think sometimes my heart is not right. Mm-hmm. You know, I want quick obedience. I want my kids to be easy. But I find that, you know, it takes time. It takes mm-hmm. a lot of time and it takes a lot of patience, mm-hmm. which a lot of times I don't have. But it's that patience, it's that consistent, it's that love that when you implement that into your training, you really see the results.
Yes, and now you're going to hear from our kids.
Hello everyone, I'm Ethan David Tanchi and I'm currently 11 years old.
Hi, my name is Andrew Elias Tanchi and I am 6 years old.
My parents taught me really well how to obey immediately. They taught me by spanking me not out of anger, but out of love. Now, since I'm 10 and up, I have this feeling inside of me when I do something wrong that I should not do it. So I feel like this is the Holy Spirit convicting me to do the right thing. And obedience brings blessing. That's the key.
So, one time my dad spanked me in a restaurant and he spanked me with a chopstick. And he explained to me that it is wrong to disobey. And he basically explained everything to me.
So I encourage you parents out there that you should discipline your children not out of anger but out of love.
Hi everyone, I'm Caleb Daniel Tanchi and I'm currently 15 years old.
Hello everyone, I am Alana and I am currently 13 years old.
So the process of obeying in my life has taken a while, like more than 10 years. And when I was really young, I learned to obey out of fear, a healthy fear though, to obey my parents, because if I didn't obey, they'd spank me or I'd get disciplined. But as the years passed, I learned more and I read my Bible and I learned about God. And now I obey more about obeying God. Sometimes when I make something wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts me to make it right or to obey.
My parents have taught me very well in being disciplined. And it really helped me in the later years, because when I started to join a volleyball team, I had to wake up early. And then I was usually one of the earliest ones to volleyball practice. And up to now, if I have an event, I try to be early, I try to set schedules. And my parents, they didn't just teach. They modeled it. Like, if they told us to exercise, they would exercise with us. And they told us to read our Bibles. They didn't force us to read our Bibles, but they modeled it. Every morning, I would wake up and see my parents read their Bibles, and that made me want to read the Bibles. And it really helped me during my day. And up till now, I still read my Bible every day, and I am so thankful that my parents have taught me, gave me spankings, and have taught me how to be disciplined.
We want to encourage all of you, wherever you are at, that training doesn't happen overnight. It's done over a consistent period of time and always done in love. So if you do consistent time and love, then you see the results. And that applies for anything, even at work, even with your disciples. You have to model for them what you want them to be, and you have to be consistent, and you have to show them love and give them time. And most importantly, you need to pray, because only God changes the hearts, and it's only Christ that gives us the desire to please Him. And we've seen that as our kids have progressed. Even when we have fallen short many times, God is gracious, and He's helped our kids have a desire to please Him. So keep praying for us. God bless you.
These are the different parenting style. For some of us, we are very passive, absentee. Physically present, but emotionally absent. For others, they're passive. You don't take action. You allow things to happen. Passive. The other extreme is abusive. You are like a dictator. You throw your weight around. You shout at them. You abuse them physically. Or over-controlling. I call this helicopter parenting. You're always hovering around. What is the best approach? The best approach is, I call this authoritative. Balance, intentional. What is authoritative? What is balance? You make your rules clear. It is reasonable. You don't shout. You don't spank out of anger. You are authoritative. What you don't want to become is like some parents, they always want to be buddy buddies, to be the best friend. Nothing wrong with friends. But can I tell you something? If you don't set boundaries, your children will disrespect you. That's why love without discipline will result in disrespect. Discipline without love will result in rebellion. Now, what if they're older? When they become 13 years old or 12 and up, people call this the teenage years. Let me just remind you, the word teenager does not even appear in the English vocabulary until the 1950s because of an article in Reader's Digest. The reality is this. In the days of Jesus, when a young boy reaches the age of 13, he's considered a man. You see, for me, teenage years are like young adults. You have to teach them. You have to be intentional. You have to apply a lot of respect, a lot of listening. For me, I like to emphasize not just self-control. I want them to internalize values. I want them to develop convictions. You want to teach teenagers the reasons why they believe what you believe. Why should they believe the Bible? You need to teach them that. You also have to teach your children the reality that obedience brings blessings. What kind of blessings? It is God's way of guiding us. It is God's way of protecting us. It is God's way of blessing us. Teenagers have to understand this. They need to internalize this. And you do this when you connect teenagers to Jesus. You see, training your children is not just training them when they are small, when they are young. You do this all the way. If they are 20 and up, my wife and I do not cease to guide them, to train them. But our approach is different. We become coach. We don't lecture too much. We listen more and we give advice. Why is it important to teach your teenagers as they grow older, your children as they grow older, the importance of obedience? Because it is through obedience that they learn to realize it is God's will, God's purpose. What do I mean? For example, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to king as the one in authority or to governors, for such is the will of God. Notice, teenagers, young people must understand, submission to authority is God's will. I remember years ago, when I was courting my wife, before I asked her hand in marriage, I got the blessing of her parents. Why? Because I believe in submission to authority. I want the blessing of her parents. Before I married my wife, I got the blessing of my father. Why? Because I believe that blessing comes when we honor those in authority. It's for our good. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, notice what the Bible says. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, notice disobedient, they are not believers. What are wives supposed to do? Look at what it says. Be submissive to your own husbands. For what purpose? That they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. You see, obedience is anchored on faith in God. God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to really believe when we obey Him, when we trust Him, we're allowing Him to be the one to work. Friends, I always tell people, you cannot change your parents, you cannot change your husbands, you cannot change your wives. Do your part. And our part is to be respectful and to be obedient. Somebody once shared this with me, obedience will unleash the power of God. It is so true. Well, I'm going to ask my wife to share with you how we apply this in our family.
I'm going to share with you a story that will help illustrate what Peter has been sharing with us about teaching our children the importance of submission to authority, of obedience, and that with obedience comes blessing. So when Candy went into school at grade 8, she went into an international school. So when it was time to graduate, she had many friends, and most of them were going to go study abroad. She came home and said, "Mom, Dad, I want to go study in the States." But we had a philosophy. We wanted our children to stay here in the Philippines for their undergrad studies so we could disciple them and really help them internalize godly character and convictions. So we told her, "Candy, we would like you to stay here to study in the Philippines for your undergraduate studies." She was very distressed because she really wanted to go to the States. But by God's grace, she had really internalized the principle that submission to authority brings God's blessing. And she knew that when she would obey us, she'd be obeying God. So she applied, got into a college here. That was when she went to the dentist, and she really felt called to become a dentist. You see, by staying here, she experienced God's call for her life. Then she transferred to BS biology. After her second year, she said, "Mom, Dad, can I go to the States? Because I can finish my dental school plus my college in just 6 years. And so with our full blessing, she went into one of the top universities in the U.S., called us and said, "Mom, I'm not doing so well. I'm forgetting everything on my test." And then we said in Psalm 1, it says, if you meditate on God's word day and night, you memorize His word, then you'll be blessed in whatever you do. So she started memorizing scriptures. And with obedience to God's word came blessing. She made straight A's her first year in college in the States. That was her third year. And then by God's grace, she was able to skip her fourth year. She went through dental school, memorizing scriptures, and by God's grace, she graduated valedictorian. What is the lesson? When our children know that God loves them, that He has an amazing plan for their lives, and that through submission to authority, that they are, when they obey their parents, their authorities, they are obeying Him, He makes a commitment to bless them. And God does what He says. God bless you.
Praise God. I want to personally thank the Lord and my wife for modeling submission. Because it is almost impossible to teach submission to our children if there's no modeling. And because you modeled respect, you modeled submission to authority, our children are very submissive today because they learn through you. Thank you.
By God's grace.
I'm reminded of a member of CCF. He was working for his father. He was so exasperated. He told me, "Peter, I want to resign from my father. I don't want to work for him." I said, "Why?" And he began to share his gripes, his complaint. I said, "Brother, if you can honor your father, respect him, do your best, change your attitude. Let's see what happens." You know, by the grace of God, this young man, at that time he was married, he honored his father, he went out of his way to show respect, even though he had a hard time working with him and for him. But can I tell you something? After a couple of years, the father turned to him. The father said, "I now realize you are the man that I've been looking for. You are the right man to succeed over our company." and I'm giving you everything. This man inherited billions. Why? I'm not saying you obey because you will get money. No, no. I'm just saying the principle of obedience. As you honor your father because you honor God, you entrust your future. And I always tell people, you must honor with expectation. See what God is going to do. My wife was sharing with me the story of a girl that she counseled. Her husband was unreasonable. Her husband was so angry. But my wife told her, just honor your husband. Just respect him. You know, a few years later, my wife and I were ninong nina of a wedding, and that couple was also ninong nina, and we were sitting together. You know what shocked me? The husband, who used to be abusive, was openly telling everybody, do you know why I'm not attending Bible study? He said, because my wife. My wife was transformed. You see the power of obedience, the power of honoring people is so powerful that we don't realize that is what God wants us to learn, even adults. When you obey God, you obey those in authorities. And vice versa, you obey your husband because you are obeying the Lord. Jesus tells us, if you love me, you will obey me. Obedience. Go through the various stages. But my prayer is, as you learn this principle, we obey, not just out of duty. We obey because of love. We obey out of delight. We obey because it is not only good for us, it brings honor to God. That's the whole idea of obedience. The ultimate objective of the Lord is not just salvation, but our transformation to Christ's likeness. God wants us to be obedient, and that's why He disciplines us. The Bible tells us, whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Notice, whom the Lord loves. The motivation is because He loves us, because we are His children. Then He disciplines us diligently. The next few verses talks about, they discipline us for a short time as seems best for them, but God disciplines us for our good. It's always for our good. It's not punishment. It's for our good. Verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, the word trained, that's from the word gymnasium. God wants to train us. How? He disciplines us. It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Many years ago, my direction in life was really toward business. I justified myself, make lots of money for the Lord. I'm serving God in the business community for the Lord. And then God did something. He allowed me to get sick. I was never hospitalized in the past, but that day I was brought to the hospital. And in the hospital room, God spoke to me. God says, Peter, I love you. Do you want to be serious with me? It was very clear in my mind that God said, I want you to serve me. But focus on discipling people. Focus on mentoring men. And God says, you do that and I'll take care of your business. And that is the meaning of whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. In that hospital room, I have no other direction but look up and I say, Lord, yes. And by the grace of God, that was a turning point of the direction of my life. And as I look back, God indeed causes all things to work together for good. Romans 8:28. For what purpose? Notice what it says. He predestined. Whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. God's desire is for us not just to experience forgiveness and salvation, but to become Christ-like. God loves us as is, but He loves us so much that He will not allow us to remain as we are. In my case, God has to reveal the idols of my life. How do you know if you have idols? What makes you angry when you don't have it? What really upset you when it is taken away from you? What are you really afraid of? Think about it. What's your greatest fear? What about your security? Where are you placing your security? You see, God loves you as is. But if you have idols, objects, people, you will live a very insecure life. You'll be full of fear. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, He will surely discipline. My prayer is that as you learn this message, perhaps for the first time, you realize what's going on in your life is God's way of loving you. It is God's calling your attention. He's wanting you to learn a lesson. But the most important thing I'd like you to experience today is to make sure that you are His child. If you like to be sure you're a child of God, I want you to know something. Jesus died on the cross. He took our punishment. He took the penalties of our sin. He obeyed God the Father by dying on the cross. He paid for our sins. He took our punishment. Whatever is happening to you right now, it's not because God is punishing you. It's because He loves you. He is disciplining you. The purpose of discipline is to train you. The purpose of training is to transform our character. But the first step is for you to become a child of God. If you are already a child of God, then the next step is to grow in Christ-likeness, which is obedience. God commits Himself to guide you, to train you. Why? Because God promised that one day you and I will stand before Him, holy, blameless. You'll need to learn to look forward to all that God has in store for us. God has promised what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what things have not entered in the minds of men, has God prepared for those who love Him. It's something from the heart. I'd like to give you this opportunity to ask the Lord to become your Savior. That's how you become a child of God, by coming to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I realize You love me, and that is why I'm undergoing discipline. I thank You that You love me so much that you want to train me. It's Your desire for us to learn obedience. So, Father, the first thing I want to make sure is I'm Your child. Because You promise that if I become Your child, You will prepare me, You will transform my character, and You will train me. So, Lord Jesus, I invite You today as my Lord and my Savior. I accept Your gift of forgiveness. I accept Your gift of eternal life. Change my heart. Give me a heart to want to obey You. Give me a heart to trust in You so that I will delight in obeying You. And above all, to trust You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.